Welcome to episode 39 of Podwarp 1999. Episode 39, The Inexplicable Adventures of Professor Henrod P. Quiggleshiggles and his Tomfoolery Generator.
The important thing is that you tried.
I obviously lost a bet for having to introduce that title.
I don't understand how it can be so difficult to say The Inexplicable Adventures of Professor Henrod P. Quiggleshiggles and his Tomfoolery Generator. It's really simple. It's not like they're nonsense words.
Because you're English. You get away with that. You can say that and it'll sound impeccable.
Well, then maybe I should have done the introduction.
Well?
No, it's too late now. That ship has sailed. Tell you what, you can get your revenge on me next week. You can give next week's episode a marginally more ridiculous episode title.
Marginally.
Marginally, okay. Though. Yeah. Slightly.
Okay.
Well, check the website, because then you can see it written out, and it'll all make sense then.
Yes.
Maybe.
Anyway, so, who are we?
Who are we? A darn good question. My name is Mark Tmekas. I am, you can see all my stuff at Entire Prize Enterprises. And we also have with us Tom Kaskowski of StationV3.com.
Yes.
And Ben Padden of,
a lot of things these days.
Yeah, a lot of things.
My main hub at the moment... Yeah, my main hub at the moment is benpadden.net, but I'm also at deadlong.com, I'm at jump-leads.com, I'm at portcenter.tv. I have many fingers in many pies.
Nice.
I like pie.
Rhubarb pie.
Yes. I'm not one to rest on my laurels, which, you know, makes sense because I don't know what a laurel is. I wouldn't know what one is to rest on it. I may know how to say The Inexplicable Adventures of Professor Henrod P. Quiggleshiggles and his Tomfoolery Generator, but you ask me what a laurel is, and I'm going to say he's the short one from Laurel and Hardy. Except he was tall and thin, so I can't even get that right, can I?
Oh,
what an astounding failure of a human being I am. Genetic wreckage, that's what I am.
So you don't have the Laurel's domain name? That's, so you're not at Ben at Laurel.
I do not have laurels.com.
And that's why you're not resting on it, obviously.
Well, definitely, you know.
Yeah.
Or squatting, as the case may be, as is right. Tradition on the internet.
So what is new in the world of sci-fi comic stuff this week?
Well, it's not, I wouldn't say it's necessarily new, but one of the most recent developments is the last week, the third issue of the Star Trek Doctor Who crossover, which is called Assimilation Squared, that was released to comic book stores nationwide in both the US and the UK, actually, because it's a weird thing because of the light. The way that IDW have the Doctor Who comic license, they can only release and distribute the Doctor Who comics in the US. But because with the Star Trek Doctor Who crossover, because Star Trek comes first, it's technically a Star Trek title, and IDW can release their Star Trek comics in the UK and internationally without any issue. Therefore, the Star Trek Doctor Who crossover is the first IDW-published Doctor Who comic that can be legitimately and officially released internationally.
Interesting.
So you can actually walk into a comic book shop in the UK and pick up Star Trek The Next Generation, Doctor Who, Assimilation Squared, Issue 3... but you can't pick up the latest issue of the Doctor Who ongoing, unless they've done some weird import deal, which is not out of the question. But anyway, issue 3 came out. It's really good. I have the alternative cover that's based loosely on the cover artwork for Star Trek First Contact, the movie, except instead of having Picard and Data and the Borg Queen's heads, it's got the 11th Doctor and Rory and Amy Pond. And then a bunch of Cybermen and Borg at the bottom. It's really, really cool what they're doing. They've got the Cybermen and the Borg kind of teaming up. It's set shortly after the Best of Both Worlds parts 1 and 2 in the Star Trek universe. It's really, really good. It's really good. In fact, issue 3 has... I won't ruin it for people who are reading, but issue 3 has a flashback sequence featuring Captain Kirk and the 4th Doctor.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Which is exactly... as awesome as it sounds.
All right.
Nice. Nice.
So, yeah.
And so obviously this takes place before the end of the last season of Doctor Who.
Yeah, I would say this Doctor Who's, in terms of the Doctor Who universe, this probably takes place sometime, really, I would have to say sometime post the midway point season six. Between the end, midpoint season six and the last story, at least before the God Complex, I would say it probably takes place probably just before the God Complex, personally. That's what I think. But they haven't done any kind of official placing of this within the Doctor Who timeline.
It's interesting that they're crossing over current Doctor Who with the past Star Trek.
Well, the alternative would be crossing over current Doctor Who with current Star Trek, which kind of precludes the possibility of the Tom Baker, Captain Kirk scenario that I mentioned. Because people want to, you know, when people think of Doctor Who, they think of Tom Baker. When people think of Star Trek, they think of William Shatner as Captain Kirk. And if they were to do a current Star Trek thing, that precludes the possibility of the Captain Kirk, Tom Baker encounter. But I think that, you know, I think that Matt Smith on the bridge of the Enterprise D makes perfect sense. Visually, it's awesome.
Sure.
I'm happy with that. And there are so many other points the Star Trek universe is large and sprawling, and, you know, there are several shows set over several centuries, and there is any point they could have done it, and people would have said, well, why didn't they do it during Next Gen? Why didn't they do it during Enterprise? There'd be those three people going, why didn't they do it during Voyager? Yeah. You know, those idiots.
Yes.
So, you know.
Oh, let's just bring all the Doctors on all of the Star Treks and just mush them all together with that.
There we go.
All the Doctors on all of the Star Treks.
That's the next series.
That's right.
I only got the first issue of this one so far. I liked it enough to go back and get the second, but by the time I got there, they were sold out.
I'm dreadfully behind. I haven't seen any of them yet.
They told me there's supposed to be a reprint coming, so I don't know. Either I got to wait for the reprint, or I got to go check another store.
It's apparently quite popular.
Oh, well, I guess so. There's nothing more to say about that.
That's
doing well.
It's doing really well, and rightly so. It's very well put together. Particularly the second issue is really when things start to kick off, but the third issue is really, really good. So even though I'm getting the individual issues, I'm probably still going to get the trade paperback at the end of the year. I might even get two copies so I can lend one to people.
Now, right. With the exception of like maybe Star Wars and Star Trek, is there any other combination of science fiction properties that would fit together as well as Star Trek and
I would actually say Doctor Who and Blake Seven, considering Terry Nation, who created the Daleks for Doctor Who, created Blake Seven. I think those two would probably mesh together very well. And obviously Doctor Who and the Hitchhiker's Guide would probably be a fantastic combination. In fact, there are some hints in dialogue that the Hitchhiker's Guide universe is part of the Doctor Who universe. Most of those planted by Douglas Adams himself when he was a script editor for the show.
Yes.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I think we were saying in a previous episode, the Doctor Who Blake 7 one, there was talk it almost happened at the end of the second season with the invading aliens were supposed to be the Daleks.
Really?
That was one of the ideas, and I don't know, if Terry Nation can't make it happen, I guess no one can, but
well, he'd, at a certain point in the 70s or 80s, he basically lost control over the Daleks. The Doctor Who production team decided what they wanted to do with the Daleks and basically started doing it, and Terry Nation didn't. The last Doctor Who story Terry Nation wrote was, so now I'm going to have to look it up. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment.
Destiny of the Daleks.
Was that the last one Terry Nation wrote?
I think so. 1979, I think.
Certainly the last Dalek story he wrote.
Right, with Douglas Adams as script editor, I think.
Yes.
See how everything ties together.
In fact, I do know of there's a sequence at the start of Destiny of the Daleks where Romana, who is the Doctor's Time Lady companion, she regenerates at the start of that story. And Terry Nation refused to write that scene because he said, something that's part of ongoing continuity should be handled by the script editor. So the first 5 minutes of that episode are actually written by Douglas Adams.
Hmm. It's an interesting regeneration.
It is. She walks out of the room and comes back with a bunch of different bodies. I like to think she's shooting herself in the head in the evening. Yeah. She's walking up. She just walks in. Boom. She wastes like 6 regenerations in that sequence. But you're right. Yeah, the last story that he wrote was Destiny of the Daleks.
Yeah. Not exactly considered his best, but I like it.
Yeah, Destiny of the Daleks is okay. I also realized I didn't realize he'd written the Android Invasion.
Yes. Where they they reused the Santaran costumes, sort of.
Sort of, yes.
Yeah, they looked like they melted them accidentally and used them anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yes. Yeah, I always remember that as the story where the guy has the eye patch and never thought to look under it and find out his eye is still there.
Yeah, that was a weird one. There were a lot of weird Doctor Who stories. I mean, people say that the 80s was a really difficult time for Doctor Who. There's also a lot of really bad Doctor Who in the 70s as well, and the 60s. There's a lot of bad Doctor Who with, you know, sprinkled throughout Doctor Who, including the new stuff. But,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, there's enough good stuff to make up for it.
Exactly. It's uneven writing. It's uneven writing in space!
Yes, and in time.
That too.
Good point.
Yes.
Even the bad ones can be a lot of fun, though.
Interestingly, Terry Nation, only of the 10 stories he wrote for Doctor Who, might be 11 stories, I may have miscounted. But yeah, of the many stories he wrote for Doctor Who, only 2 of them were not Dalek stories.
Yes.
Which is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And fascinating, obviously, I mean tedious.
Yes.
But, you know. So what else is going on in the magical world of sci-fi?
Well, the Terry Nation thing just reminded me that one of his other shows, Survivor, has got remade. Was it a year or two ago now?
Oh, yes. I remember that.
I don't have too much to say about it because I've only seen one or two episodes of the original and part of the first episode of the remake. But yeah, remakes do seem to be remakes, reboots, etc. Like, certainly the current trend.
Yeah, indeed. They are.
It's, we're seeing talk of a Blake 7 reboot.
Yeah, I saw that just today, actually.
Yeah, so it's going to be an American remake reboot thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the article I saw about it said basically, sounds terrible, forget it, it'll never happen. But they're talking about it.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully not, I guess.
Right, well.
Yeah. It's the second such revelation that we've had this year, because I remember early this year, I think February or March, it was announced that they're an American production. Actually, the guys who worked on the V remake, in fact, are working on a reboot of Space 1999, which would be called Space 2099, right. Which means obviously if that happens, we have to change the name of our podcast. But yeah, it's fascinating that all of these. I think the ongoing success of Doctor Who, and also obviously the success of sci-fi's Galactica remake, has kind of rejuvenated interest in a lot of these old sci-fi and fantasy series.
Right.
But and a lot of the British stuff, you know.
I
don't know what happened to them, but I know at one point they were looking. They were talking about doing an American Doctor Who. UFO.
Yeah.
The old UFO show. Even the they're Americanizing Sherlock now, you know?
Well, the interesting thing about Sherlock is Sherlock, or Elementary, which is what CBS's show has been called, isn't technically speaking a remake of the British show Sherlock, but it's interesting to know that CBS approached the BBC about doing an American remake, and the BBC said no. And then CBS sulked for a bit, realized that Sherlock Holmes had fallen into the public domain, and said, "Screw you guys, we're going to make our own show with blackjack and hookers."
Well, good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, you know, kind of a redo of the British invasion now, American invasion almost of pop sci-fi.
And
stuff.
This is the thing that I find absolutely baffling, is that American networks have almost no interest in just showing a show from the UK at all. Like NBC did Merlin. Merlin was a BBC-NBC co-production, and it took them half a year to actually start airing the show over here, and then they stopped airing it when it didn't do very well. But no one is interested in, like, you know, BBC were trying to shop Doctor Who to, like, Fox, NBC, CBS, the CW. They were shopping it to all these networks, and it took them nearly a year before Sci-Fi said, oh, go on then, we'll give it a go, and completely just mismanaged it for 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how Fox would have done, since they're the ones who kind of tried it in the 90s.
Yeah, I think Fox support. I think if Fox has been approached by the BBC, they probably remember the Paul McGann TV movie as being something of a ratings disaster. What they've probably not taken in consideration is the fact that it was put up against an episode of Roseanne that was like, it was like the Roseanne's last season. It was a pretty important episode. It wasn't like the season finale or anything, but it was a big, important event episode, and people, you know, Roseanne was the biggest show on American TV at the time.
There was something else on against it, too, if I remember correctly. I don't know, because I was watching Doctor Who at the time, but...
of course.
It was some other TV movie or something. Let me just look up. Was it The Stepford Husbands?
Quite possibly. I don't know.
Really? I think that might have been on the same night, too.
It's interesting. I didn't know there was a Stepford Husbands.
First aired May 14th, 1996. That sounds about right.
Let me look it up on... Let me look up the Doctor Who. When did the Doctor Who movie air in the US? May
14th, 1996. Yep. There we go.
So that explains that.
So I think it came third in the ratings for the night.
I would really like to see the Eighth Doctor appear on television. I mean, this is kind of a we're beating a dead horse for Doctor Who fans, but seeing the Eighth Doctor on screen again would be something of a small joy. I think I would love it.
It'd be a good choice for a multiple Doctor episode just to get him on again.
Yeah,
true. They haven't done a multiple Doctor episode.
Well, sort of.
Not since.
They did a mini sort of fifth
Doctor,
tenth Doctor.
Yeah, they did a time crash featuring the fifth Doctor and the tenth Doctor, but they haven't done a dedicated episode. Right. Actually, when asked about the asked that question on that very subject, Stephen Moffat said he refused to answer the question at Comic-Con this year. So it's either not happening or he doesn't want to tip his hat and say no, it's not happening. I don't know what the show's... Because 2013 is the show's 50th anniversary.
Really?
The longest-running science fiction series on television.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. They could get the... one of the guys who wrote the first Multiple Doctor episode is still alive. They could get him in to write it.
Oh, no. Terrence Dix is a terrible writer.
No. It was Bob Baker.
Oh, Bob Baker.
Yes. Bob Baker and Dave Martin wrote The Three Doctors, and I think...
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was thinking of The Five Doctors.
I think of all the, I read somewhere, of all the Third Doctor script writers, he's the only one still alive. Which I found a little surprising, but...
Something's traveling through time, killing the script writers. No, wait, Terrence Dix worked on the Third Doctor, surely. I know he was the script editor, part of it, yeah, but he wrote a couple of stories. Because he wrote stories for the Second Doctor, and he's still alive.
I think he didn't actually write, he wasn't credited for writing any, because he was the script editor.
Okay, back to the Doctor Who wiki. Let's see what he wrote.
So this is a square on Podwarp Bingo, right? Podwarp checks Wikipedia. And swears it.
Well, I'm not actually checking Wikipedia, I'm checking the Doctor Who wiki.
Which is
basically the same thing.
Yes. Of course, whatever was going through time, killing off the Third Doctor scriptwriters had to leave Bob Baker so he could write the Wallace and Gromit stuff.
Exactly.
That's right.
You're right. He didn't write any Third Doctor stories. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did enough rewriting, but
and he wrote a lot of novelizations.
Yes,
he wrote most of the Target novelizations. And he wrote a bunch of tie-in novels for the Eighth Doctor, some of the past Doctors, and he wrote two Tenth Doctor novels as well. Quick reads.
Oh.
Huh. One called Made of Steel, and the other called Revenge of the Jadoon.
Huh.
Have you read any of them?
Oh, God, no.
Neither have I.
having read his novel, The Eight Doctors, which is technically an eight-doctor, multi-doctor story, I read that one, and...
I haven't read any of the... I don't think I've read any of the new series ones, but some of the BBC and Virgin New Adventures, Missing Adventures, all that stuff, I read probably most of those. Is this a tangent now? This is a tangent.
Oh, we've been on a tangent since, I think, I think we've been on a tangent more or less since I mentioned the fantastic Improbable Adventures of Professor...
I think since I started the word inexplicable, I think that kind of...
Yes.
From that word forward, it's been...
From the word, yes.
The Inexplicable Adventures of Professor Henrold P. Quiggleshiggles and His Tomfoolery Generator.
Yes.
There we go.
See?
Good. Yeah.
It was a requirement. All three of us had to try it.
When surveyed, 2 out of 3 podcast hosts were able to say The Inexplicable Adventures of Professor Henrold P. Quiggleshiggles and His Tomfoolery Generator.
Yes.
That's 66%.
That's okay.
It's a good sample size. It's 3.
Not bad.
3 is a great sample size. Why don't people use 3 more often?
No chance of a tie, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
2 out of 3 people surveyed thought it was a good idea.
Exactly. See? Yeah. That's all you need. Plus, it bothers fewer people, especially when you've got, people phoning you up to say, hey, we want to do a quick survey. No, go away and ask 3 people.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it would make election predictions very interesting.
It would. It would do exactly that.
Yeah. We surveyed one candidate's immediate family, and all 3 of them swore he was going to win.
What if he doesn't have 3 members in his immediate... Oh, blimey. He doesn't have 3 members in his immediate family.
Then he's in big trouble.
Yes.
He's obviously lost the election. Now we need to tangent back to a topic that we were actually going to talk about. Did we have one of those?
Did we? I thought the subject was tangents.
Tangents, yes. How about the Inexplicable Adventures of Ben at Comic-Con on Saturday?
Yeah.
And my tomfoolery generator.
Yes. Oh, you brought the tomfoolery generator.
I did. In fact, I used the tomfoolery generator to dress myself as Batman.
All right.
I went just as Batman. I went just as a budget Batman. I used a blue towel as a cloak, cape. Got it in the end. Yeah. And I had a Batman beanie that I'd bought at WonderCon.
Okay.
That's it. That was my costume.
All right.
Oh, and I'd drawn the bat symbol on a piece of brown paper with a Sharpie yellow highlighter and literally pinned it to my shirt.
Right.
Wow.
That was my costume.
Not bad. I'm sure there's worse.
Exactly.
You know, like the guy who shows up with no costume and just says, I'm Batman.
True. Exactly. I'm Clark Kent.
Yes.
Or Bruce Wayne, rather.
Well, Clark Kent's easy. All you need is the glasses.
Yep. But then there's that thing where people don't know who you are, and...
Yeah.
And so on and so on.
You can go as a hologram. Just draw an H on your forehead.
Easy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Why doesn't everyone do that?
Yes.
So did you get to see anything good, or see anybody cool?
I spoke to a few people. Obviously, I spoke to Chris Straub. I spent a lot of time talking to Jerry and Mike of Penny Arcade. I could talk to those guys for a year, 2 years, 1,000. Why not? 20, 50, a million, the billion years. Billion years. Yeah. Just 1,000,000,000,000,000 years of talking to those guys. I imagine one of us would kill the other eventually, but...
or the people waiting behind you at the booth.
Yeah, that would have been great. Yeah. But yeah, I saw Brad Gygar, Dave Kellett, the wonderful, wonderful David Willis, Yes. I saw a bunch of people. I spoke to a lot of people. They didn't hate me. I didn't hate them. It was great.
All right.
Good time.
That's my Comic-Con report.
So they stick all the webcomics together?
Yeah, they've actually... the webcomics have always been in kind of generally the same area of the convention floor. But what they've done now is... what they've been doing for the last few years, I think since at least 2010, is they actually have... It's a dedicated webcomics area now. They have a banner hanging from the rafters at the top there. And it's kind of a dedicated webcomic zone.
All right. So you can either seek it out or avoid it like the plague.
Exactly.
Yes. Whatever your preference may be.
The end. Yes.
I think we're going to have a couple squares to the Podwarp bingo for how many times we say the end.
Yes.
Or yes.
Yes.
But don't make it a drinking game.
No, God,
no. No, no.
Oh, God. We are not responsible for any alcohol poisoning as a result of this show.
Yes.
Well, can't help it. We're very agreeable.
Bunch. Yes.
This is true. I mean, this one, even if you did it for the number of times we say the inexplicable adventures of Professor Henrald P. Quiggleshiggles and his tomfoolery generator.
Generator, yes.
You're in trouble.
Mark, are you going to... are you going to try? Again.
Okay. All right. Hang on.
You can do this. We believe in you.
I've got to do a little limbering up first, I think.
Okay, quiet, please, on the court.
The Inexplicable Adventures of Professor Henry... No, apparently not. Apparently not.
You can so do it. Close. We believe in you. We have faith in thee.
Okay. All right. The Inexplicable Adventures of Professor...
Strike two.
Here's the thing: you're not even tripping on one of the difficult words. It's professor.
No, I'm
you're
not.
Tripping on at the moment. Okay.
Professor, I might make it.
Professor.
Okay. The Inexplicable Adventures of Professor Henrald P. Quiggleshiggles and his Tomfoolery Generator.
All right.
Very well done.
Okay.
There. We got it.
Three out of three. You win the speedboat.
Just copy paste that into all my words.
Yes.
Another Podwarp bingo then. Bad editing done by Tom.
Yep. It'll be great.
Yep.
So what else is going on in the wild world of sci-fi?
That's a good question.
Oh, speaking of Doctor Who, I saw the latest Hobbit clip. You know, their backstage thing, showing a little bit of Sylvester McCoy as Radagast.
Oh,
Looking pretty cool.
When is that supposed to be coming out?
December. Well, the first one's December. And then,
they're talking about making them into three movies rather than two, actually.
I heard this
yesterday.
Yeah. So it's this year and next year, and then possibly the year after that, if they go to three.
Why not make it four?
Well, you know, you got to save some for the Silmarillion.
Yeah.
Make it five.
Coming in 2015, J.R.R. Tolkien's Shopping List.
Directed by Peter Jackson.
Yes.
Farmer Guilds of Ham, wasn't that it was? And I turned that into a four picture epic?
Yes. Sure. Shopping List, starring Sean Astin as the Loaf of Bread.
Well, what else is he doing?
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a good question. What else is he doing?
Oh, he was in The Color of Magic.
Oh.
Oh, yeah?
That's it.
Yeah, he played Two Flower.
I have not seen that.
It was pretty good. It wasn't. I still think the best of the Discworld adaptations is... my favorite of the Discworld adaptations is definitely Hogfather. I think that was the strongest one.
Oh, yeah?
How many have they done so far?
Three. They did Hogfather, The Color of Magic, and... Going Postal. Although technically The Colour of Magic is both The Colour of Magic and The Light Fantastic, so that's technically four.
Ah.
Nice. I got Colour of Magic on my Netflix list. I'm going to have to
finally
break down and watch it.
Are they going to do more of these?
Well, they've been talking about doing a series based on the Ankh-Morpork City Watch, which was actually my idea. I had that idea like 4 years ago.
And they finally listened to you.
They finally listened. I'm so glad.
And they'll be giving you credit right under Terry Pratchett's name.
Basically. Yeah, the idea that I had was where you'd have a 13 episode season, same as Doctor Who, and the first story would be an adaptation of God's Gods. That would be the pilot. It'd be maybe a 2-part pilot,
right?
And then you'd have basically each season you'd have, you'd have 11 basically standalone stories, or maybe you'd have 10 and have another 2-parter in there. But every season you'd do one adaptation of one of the Ankh-Morpork City Watch books. So you've got a bunch of original stories in there intermingled with adaptations from the book series.
Hmm. It's not a bad idea. They should do that.
And they will, probably.
Right.
But yeah, that was my idea.
Speaking of adaptations of books, anyone see the Dirk Gently TV show?
No,
I have it. I just haven't actually sat down to watch it yet.
I liked it. I mean, it's not. I would not say it's entirely faithful to the book. I mean, the first one is sort of based on the first book.
I hear it's slightly more grounded.
Yeah, but definitely with some sci-fi aspects here and there. And I thought it was a lot of fun. I was disappointed to hear they're not going to be doing any more of them, though, unless they've changed their minds. Mm. Something about BBC4 not having the money to actually do their own TV shows.
Yeah, they have a very, very limited budget.
So, yeah. It's unfortunate, but...
Drink!
Yes. So, I don't know, they should pick it up on BBC2 then.
Yeah.
Heck, BBC1. Think big.
Yes.
Seems great when we all agree on something. Doesn't make for very interesting listening sometimes, but hey.
That's true, unfortunately.
Yes. And we agree on that, too.
Sure, we do.
So, yeah, obviously we've got to bring a little conflict to this to keep things interesting.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do need more conflict, and my conflict is this. You're all jerks.
I think we're just fine. We don't need any more conflict.
Okay, so Ben thinks we need more. Mark thinks we don't.
I think there's the conflict right there.
Yes. Can we resolve this? The conflict that tears Podwarp apart. Or not.
Yes.
Yes. And we're back to agreeing. So.
That didn't take long, apparently.
No.
So now what?
Well, I think we had another topic. Maybe we can all agree or disagree on this one. Science. Fact or fiction? Well, hey, it was your topic.
I know, I'd completely forgotten about it. I had no idea that you were going to legitimately broach that during the podcast.
Well, why not?
Hey, it was on the list.
Because it is literally ridiculous. I spent 2 seconds thinking of the most ridiculous ridiculous question I could possibly come up with.
Well, now you got to wear your Batman costume while you discuss it.
That's right.
It's easy.
Yes. Of course, since this isn't a video podcast, it won't do much good, but, you know.
No one will ever know. I'm wearing it right now. How would you know? You can't verify that.
That's true. So.
What else is going on?
I vote for fiction.
You vote for fiction?
I'll put my vote in. What the heck?
I think it's fact. Conflict.
Here we go.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right.
I think it's both.
I think.
There, now we've got a tie. Three people and we manage a tie.
Pretty well covered bases there.
Oh, we do have another possible topic.
Oh, yeah.
A chance for Ben to discuss Red Dwarf without having to pay.
Ah, yes.
A trailer has come out for the new series.
Yes, it came. It dropped on Friday.
Yes.
And it looks... the thing about Red Dwarf... and I'm immediately on the defensive here, but the thing about Red Dwarf is it's never clipped together very well. Red Dwarf, as a show... a lot of its jokes require context. A lot of its jokes require an ongoing understanding of what's happening during the episode. So the trailer is kind of... The trailer, I don't think, is the best bits of the new series. I think the trailer is made up mostly of what it would consider to be character moments. There's Crichton being a little bit weird. There's the cat being the cat and sliding along the floor. There's Lister, getting all excited about Poppadom. These aren't moments that are the high points of the show. This trailer was specifically designed to remind people who aren't fans or who used to watch the show but have kind of, moved on that this is a show. This is the, basic framework of what Red Dwarf is about.
Yes. Mm-hmm. These are the characters you vaguely remember, and
yeah.
They're back, looking a little bit older, but,
Yeah. Now, one of the things that immediately the trailer went up, people were like, oh no, they're using canned laughter. They're not using canned fucking laughter. There was an actual audience actually watching the actual performances. It was filmed over December and January. They've been in post-production ever since. And the audience has been absolutely remarkable in not spoiling the experience for anyone. So, I'm really excited about the news. From feedback I've heard from people who are actually at the studio... audience shootings. That's a bad choice of words. To edit around that, we'll start again.
Yes.
From what I've heard from people who are actually at the tapings at the studio audience, I hear that it's actually really good. It's like on par with like the show's fifth and sixth season, which is, most people consider that to be kind of the golden age of Doctor Who. That's $20. The golden age of Red Dwarf.
Well, that sounds promising.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic.
I mean, I didn't see the previous, was it the Back to Earth? Was that the previous one at this point?
Yeah, it was.
I didn't see, but
it was really good.
Okay, the ones I have seen, I didn't hate any of them. So
the end.
Yes. So if it's up to the level of any previous season, Sounds like it'd be worth watching.
As long as it's better than season 8.
Well.
Season 8 was terrible. That's the one aboard the prison.
Right. But even that one was watchable here and there.
No. I think there was one good episode to season 8, and it was basically a retread of Future Echoes.
Yeah. But a watchable retread of Future Echoes. So, you can skip over season 8 if you like, but it's there.
Yes.
And it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I can't say I remember too much of season 8. Definitely not memorable.
I guess not. I remember they had some of the original cast back for that season, like the captain.
Yeah, they got the original crew back. It was the crew had been regenerated,
which was interesting.
It was an interesting premise.
I'm not sure if the prison idea was the best, but yeah.
I think it was a good idea. I just think that the writing for that season was so broad that it didn't feel like Red Dwarf. I think that's the biggest problem.
Right.
Oh well. Another interesting development in terms of returning TV shows that had once vanished into the ether is season 4 of Arrested Development. Not strictly speaking sci-fi, but it is coming back for some new episodes.
It's interesting. It's on Netflix, isn't it? Or it's going to be on.
Yeah. It'll be good times.
Yeah. That's interesting. They're getting into doing their own TV shows.
Oh, they've already done one. They did that... I can't even remember what it was called. It was like a witness relocation program, and I can't remember what it was called.
All right, but... Is that with Stephen Van Zandt was in it?
Yes.
Well, I don't remember the title either, but yes. Of course, and we could have another Podwarp checks Wikipedia moment, so. Which makes her, I know, it makes her fascinating listening. You can hear the little doesn't typing going on.
We gotta get some Wikipedia music.
Yes.
Play a Wikipedia song.
We need some Yes. Does Wikipedia have a theme song?
You could always use the Podwarp 1980 theme and get a little more use out of that.
Mm.
That's true.
Unless I'm missing it, the Wikipedia article on... Oh, there it is. I was going to say, it doesn't look like they even mention it. Lilyhammer.
Lilyhammer, yes, that's what it's called.
Yes.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Premiere appeared on... I guess they showed it on some of Norway's... TV2 Norway. With a record audience of 998,000 viewers, which was one-fifth of Norway's population.
Wow.
And greenlit for a second season.
Nice.
So, I guess that worked out for, I don't know if it was a co-production between that Norwegian TV and Netflix.
Quite possibly.
Yes. So, well, they could get into doing more TV shows.
Yeah. They should do, I think. I think it'd be great if they resurrected Firefly, but it'll probably never, ever happen. Ever, ever, ever. As much as the fans want it to happen, it will never, ever happen.
Yeah, I think it's going to be too hard to get everybody together now, isn't it? I mean, they've all kind of taken off on different...
Yeah, the moment in the one episode of Castle with the space cowboy Halloween costume was probably as close as they're going to get.
Well, they all got together at Comic-Con, didn't they?
They did. In fact, there's talk of a reboot, but I haven't found anything that's kind of corroborated that.
See, what they should have done then is at Comic-Con, hand them all a script, get out the video camera, and say, okay, another episode, let's go.
Yeah. Have an episode where they land at a comic convention.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, what they could do is they could kind of reboot that with a different ship in that universe. You know, not too difficult.
Right.
You know, that might work.
You can call it Lightning Bug, maybe.
Yeah. Firefly the Next Generation, you know.
Yes.
Indeed.
Well, you know, they could probably put on, 45 minutes of dead air, call it Firefly the Next Generation. It will get an audience.
Probably
would. I agree.
Probably not a very big one, but, you know.
Just following, yeah.
Yes.
Actually, speaking of theme songs, I saw the trailer for Man of Steel, the new Superman.
Yeah.
I was, but the thing I was finding interesting, they were talking about not using the John Williams theme music. They're going to go totally original. They're just talking about, I think it's Hans Zimmer is doing the music. And how he's basically hosed. How do you do something? How do you top that?
Yeah.
You know.
So their decision is they don't want to have music that will immediately make people think of Superman.
Right.
Yeah.
In their Superman movie.
No. Right. Well, I can understand wanting. You know, you want a clean break. You want to do something. You know, if you're going to try and do something fresh and new and different, you want it to be fresh and new and different. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's, you know, in terms of soundtrack or, you know, iconic theme music, that's really one of the ones that are really tough to
Well, top. It's, I don't think that music, I don't think any of John Williams' score is going to appear in The Man of Steel.
No, of course not.
Because they are working very, very hard to establish it as its own continuity.
Yeah. But, it's going to be tough. And, yeah, I don't... The trailer? I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Here's a thought. They could use music from the Broadway musical.
Yeah. That would be disappointing.
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman.
Yeah, why not? I actually did set design for a production of that.
Really?
That musical. Yes.
Fascinating.
Yep. Community theater version, I think it was. But, yeah.
I've never seen the musical. Am I missing anything?
You know, I don't think I ever went to see it. I did the
design set. The set design was so bad, you thought this is never going to work?
I did the design, so here you go, see ya. I read the script and said, yeah. Here's the blueprints, good luck with that.
Yes, in the 60s, Dino, Desi, and Billy released the a song from the musical as a single.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, it bombed. Yeah. Well, that is to say, it charted, but not very high.
Ah, and that's why we remember it today.
Yes, so there is an idea they could use that. Yeah, it bombed then, but it might go over great now.
Yes.
Yes.
It's better than the Spider-Man musical, though.
Yeah. You say yes now, but then if I found you the song, you might actually say no. You're in luck. It's not on YouTube.
Yes.
Yes. See, that's a problem with tangents. Sometimes they lead to a dead end.
Well, so do topics. So it's
well, that too, yeah. Well, you know what we really need? You know who can save us?
Superman?
Aquaman?
Professor Henrold P. Quiggleshiggles.
That is true. He does have some fairly inexplicable adventures, some of which I do believe are the direct cause of his tomfoolery generator.
Yeah.
Yes. See, if he was here, he'd know what to do. Inexplicably.
Exactly.
He'd probably start some sort of tomfoolery.
Sure. You know.
And again, we remind you, if you're playing the Podwarp drinking game, stop.
If they were playing the Podwarp drinking game, they probably should have stopped about 30 minutes ago.
Yes.
They're probably not listening anymore.
Yeah. They're dead. They are legitimately dead.
Yes.
So,
well, hey, we warned you.
That is true. So, what do you think? Are we due yet for a Professor Henrold Quiggleshiggles reboot?
Well, obviously. I think that now is the time for a brilliant reboot of The Inexplicable Adventures of Professor Henrold P. Quiggleshiggles. In fact, they should just call it Henrold. Yeah. Set it in modern-day London.
What's that guy from the Flash Gordon movie doing these days? They could get him in.
Lamenting, mostly.
I think you're right.
The end. Transformers of the Caribbean.
Oh, no, he actually... it's funny. He actually appeared in a movie this year.
Liar.
Sam Jones?
Sam Jones.
Really?
Appeared in an extended cameo as himself in Ted.
Huh. Really?
Yes.
Curious.
That's interesting.
Has he done anything else at any other point?
In 2001, Jones was cast in the Animal Planet family series Hollywood Safari as a park ranger.
Huh.
Okay, there was more than that. Okay.
Okay.
Was the lead in a 1987 adaptation of Will Eisner's comic character The Spirit.
Why?
Someone thought it was a good idea.
Huh.
All right. Go them, well, I suppose.
Yep. Played Chris Rorschach in the TV series Code Red from 1981 to 1982. And the title character in the short-lived NBC series The Highwayman.
Wow.
And several straight-to-video movies. So, I think he would jump at the chance to play Professor Henrold P. Quiggleshiggles.
It's very much his sort of role.
Yes.
I think you're right.
I mean, who else do you think would be well cast for such a momentous something or other?
Timothy Dalton.
Oh, good old Timmy D.
Yeah.
Can never go wrong. But, you know, I mean, if we're going to go that route, you know, George Lazenby,
there we go.
Yeah.
He could do a more serious take on the part, I think.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
How long have we been going for, and why haven't we stopped?
I think we're about at episode length now. So.
Yeah, probably.
Yep.
Let's
Yeah, we actually had a couple good topics, probably for a nice half-hour episode. Of course, here we are at the 55-minute mark.
We're terrible people. We should probably cut this short before we hate ourselves forever.
Yeah.
Let's not dig ourselves a hate hole just yet.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yep. So, Mark, you have to do the title again for the outro.
I guess I do, don't I? Okay. Yes. Well, here we go. Well, this has been episode 39, The Inexplicable Adventures of Professor Henrol Triggle Jiggles.
Keep going.
And his tomfoolery generator.
All right. And if you have any tomfoolery, you can post it on the Podwarp forum at forum.comicostrich.com, or you can email us at podwarp1999@comicostrich.com. Do it today.
Or else.
Or else.
Or else they'll never reboot Professor Thingies. Professor Henrol P. Quiggle Shiggles.
And Sam Jones will come looking for you.
That's right.
On that note.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
That's what I think of that.
Yes.
Can't argue with that, really.
We can edit that part out.
The intro and outro music is Earth's Assault on the Central AI by Tetix from the album Technology Crisis. A link to Tetix's website is available on the Podwarp 1999 website.